out mine. I'll just leave that there.
Okay.
And I'll show you the type of thing we put together, just so you,
You do family journals, mainly?
You know, family journals, the business as well. This is, you'll know Ida Rose.
Oh, sure. That's a nice binding. Is that full leather?
Yeah, that's full leather.
Uh-huh.
We try to do the best possible. You know, we hope we find customers that can that want the best, too. So.
Well, Ida Rose was quite a gal. I'd like to read it sometime.
I do have it. I have a copy of this book for you. I didn't bring it.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize that I forgot. But.
If you want to do one like that for Tracy.
Yeah, it's going to be the same type of thing. It might be a little longer. Tracy had a unique life, but I do have a copy for you and your wife, and I'll make sure I get it to you.
I met Tracy first when does it pick it up if I just talk normally?
Yes, that's great.
I first met Tracy when he was working for the Bureau of Mines. He was a PhD candidate then at University of Utah, and I was finishing my bachelor's degree in chemical engineering. And we both worked at the Bureau of Mines laboratory to help us through school.
Okay, so where was that laboratory?
That was right on campus.
At the University.
And I think it still is.
Oh, okay.
It was sponsored by Kennecott Copper. They did a lot of mining assessment and analysis of ores from all over the Utah.
Okay.
I'm kind of out of breath right now, but I'll get to it.
No problem.
Okay.
So you guys weren't strangers when he.
So he joined BYU in 1957. I joined in 1958. He had gone to work for General Electric. And you know all that. You know all that, don't you?
Yeah.
And I had been working for 7 years at Amoco. The refinery in Salt Lake City. I was very happy there, but BYU recruited me for 3 years, starting in 55, and in 58 I joined them. Tracy, I was recruited by a man by the name of Ralph Cooper Hutchison from University of Rochester. He was some university in the East. He wanted me to go to the Middle East, to Iran, to start a graduate school. So I did that. I did that for 3 years and came back to the university. BYU, where Tracy and I were still teaching, where Tracy was still teaching, and I extended my leave for 3 years. Came back in 1962. In 1966, probably in the fall registration for the BYU students, we hadn't adopted the computer system yet. We had each professor had an assignment at different times in a great hall where the students came. If they wanted your class, they pulled the cards for the department and registered by hand. It was interesting but boring because we tried to help the students all we could. And this was an idle time. I was there with another professor, Dr. Dwayne Horton, and I'd been reading my Chemical and Engineering magazine, which came weekly. And there was an article in there that said, I have money if you have a good idea. And I said, Tracy Hall's over there, Duane. Let's go over and talk to him about forming a company in Diamond. Would you like to do that? And Duane said, yes. So we went over there and talked to Tracy. And we had no idea how we were going to form it. But we told Tracy that if we formed this company, he would have 50% of the stock, and Duane and I would take 20, and we'd all put in the same amount of money. I thought I could borrow $20 from my father, and Duane thought he could borrow $20,000 from his father-in-law, who was a jeweler, a diamond jeweler, and Tracy had $20,000. So that was the initial capital of the company. And we talked about a name, and we finally decided on the name Mega Diamond, which is still a good name.
Yeah.
We had, a struggle for, we were professors in 1976, 10 years later, we had a net profit of $1 million. And your father was working for,
I think it was Ingersoll Rand.
Ingersoll Rand.
Yeah.
He was working for Ingersoll Rand, and he wanted to come back and join the company, which was fine with me. In the course of events there, he talked Tracy into giving him proxy for and so at that time my son had got his mechanical engineering degree, I think in the same class that your dad did.
Yeah, they were.
And Lewis had said he had been working for the company in the machine shop. He knew quite a bit about how to build presses by then.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I want to join the company. We were looking for a plant manager, and I don't think Tracy interviewed Lewis, but Duane did. And we decided that we'd give him a shot at it. He'd go half-time to the MBA, and Tracy was... And David was still working for the Ingersoll Rand. It was in 1978. David came, and so my son was the plant manager. In 1978, your dad came back, and he was interested in being plant manager. The quickest way to do it was to exercise. He got Duane to go along with him, and I was president by then. Your dad never did want to be president. We wanted him to be president, but we all had scientific. We all wanted to be in scientific, but somebody had to run the business. Anyway. And I was president. David, in the shareholder meeting, just out of the blue, no warning, he said, Lewis, you're fired. You no longer have a job. I'm the new plant manager. He had, and Lewis said, okay. And for a year, he tried to make diamond drills. And then he decided he'd form a company called U.S. Synthetic. So that's the origin of that. I don't know how much of that you know, but
that's the birth. Okay.
That's the birth of the two companies. In 1978 we made $1 million net profit, and paid a dividend to the shareholders, which made made your dad upset because he had to pay so much taxes.
Okay.
And Tracy and I always got along. I mean, I liked Tracy. He was a good man. And I learned that Tracy was not only a good chemist, he was a good engineer. He knew a lot about circuits and mechanical design. He designed several generations of presses, starting at General Electric, and that, you know, all that story, I think. So you can, what I'd like you to do, just ask me the question you'd like me to answer.
Boy, you've done pretty well. Okay, so somewhere in there, there was a DBT.
Okay.
Dwayne Bill Tracy.
While I was still president, I went back. I got a call from Diamond Distributors in New York. They were Diamond Distributors. There were two brothers.
Jollis, I think.
The Jollis brothers. Bert and, you know the other one? I'll remember it. Both of them were fine fellows. They had diamond mines in Central Africa. They had a son there helping in the mining. They had unlimited, unsecured credit. And so they wanted to form a joint venture with us. And what we had advertised is the sintered diamond. The process of taking diamond powder, putting it in the back in the high pressure press where it was made, and getting it to bond the diamond bonding to make it a shape, any shape we wanted. We had this Diamond Distributors were interested in becoming a tool company too, diamond tool company, because they could supply diamond to us, and we could press that powder into various shapes and cutters and wire dies, nozzles. The number of things that can be made with diamond and better than any other material is just unlimited. And even after all these years, I say that the diamond industry is still in its infancy, the synthetic diamond industry. But we had Jollis. We formed a company. We sold 25% of the company to the Jollises. They made it possible for us to borrow money from First Security Bank. I signed for a $100,000 loan, but neither Tracy or Dwayne would sign for it. They're just too conservative for that kind of risk. In any case, when First Security Bank looked up the Jollis credit, it said unlimited, unsecured credit. So they were able to help us quite a bit. And they helped us quite a bit get started into the tool business and Mega Diamond became, and it still is, a supplier of cutting tools, I believe. I don't have an intimate relationship with that company, though I do talk to the manager from time to time. We had some good inventions. Tracy was very creative. I felt like I was creative, and Dwayne was a very hard worker. I'd say that we really made a good team until Dave came in and fired Lewis, and they brought in a man by the name of Art Frigo, Art Friegel was he had a company called, you heard of the company?
I'm sorry.
The company was a diamond wheel company. I'll remember the name shortly. But they, we bought that company from the platinum company. We paid $1.25 million. I arranged a loan from Citibank, and Art Friegel was that's where we first met him. He was the president of the diamond wheel company we were buying. They were experts in making grinding wheels for edging all the windows in automobiles. That was a big market, and it was a hard fraction to make. We invented a process of using, it actually turned out to be scrap scrap. No, actually, we used diamond. To make our diamond, we used graphite discs and metal discs in a slug, and that's how we made this diamond. Okay. Anyway, they especially wanted this one cut, and we had good success with that and made quite a bit of profit. We joined forces with Lou Worms became one of our customers, a man that we met at the industrial diamond meeting, and so we did have a profitable business in 78, but that was a long struggle to come to profitability. But then once Lewis was gone and started U.S. Synthetic, I was not too popular around there. Okay. Though I had no stock in U.S. Synthetic. Lewis said, "Dad, come over here." And so I left, and I think Dwayne became president then.
Do you remember what year you left?
I left in 78. Lewis left in April or May of 78, and I joined him in November. And I retired from the university at the same time in 78.
Okay. So what did you get trained in school? And then were you working in the same department as Tracy back then, or?
No.
Was there a difference?
No, our acquaintance started. We were both workers in the Bureau of Mines.
That's right. I'm sorry. Okay.
So that's where we came together.
Right.
And then after I came back from Iran, I saw him all the time, and I used to talk. Tracy was the director of research for the university then. I think the administration job was not too pleasing to him. He was very happy to start this diamond company. And Tracy did a lot of the mechanic. He did all the mechanical design on our first press. And he did the electrical design. Dwayne and I helped put it together. My father, Louis A. Pope, he was a mechanical engineer. He taught by correspondence while he was in the Navy. Anyway, he was the chief mechanical foreman at the refinery where I went to work. But he went with him down to Oklahoma to put the press together. And they finally got it together and brought her back to good old press, and I don't know whether it's still in existence or not. We call it Big Bertha.
Big Bertha. Okay. I'll look for that. Okay.
But I always, though, you know, there was a lawsuit that they sued for theft of trade secrets.
This was Novatech?
No, this was you. Mega Diamond.
Sued.
After I left, about a year, they wanted to shut us down because we were making synthetic diamond. Actually, the patents were still held by GE, the original patents. Mega Diamond had some patents, and we used different catalysts. We tried to be as different as we could, and we learned there we could take scrap powder from the machining operation at Christensen Diamond, use that for our raw material, so they gave it to us. So that really gave us an advantage and we became quite good at making synthetic diamond powder. But the Chinese were coming in and the Germans, and I mean there were a lot. I think the Chinese had something like 350 little presses. And you remember when Chairman Mao started the steel plants? I don't know whether you studied that or not, but he had little steel plants all around the country. They're just making rotten material, but they did the same thing with diamond, and they've never prospered in the finer grades of diamond. But they still have lots of little diamond companies. Anyway, we became very good at making cutters for oil well bits, and so did Mega Diamond, and that's been a great market.
Yeah,
I don't know what the total number of people working in Provo is now, and Salt Lake. There's a plant in Salt Lake that David furnished with a press. But it'd be interesting to see what the total workforce is now. It's a big, I don't know what the size of Mega Diamond is now. What will be their annual sales?
Yeah. So we've got Mega Diamond, U.S. Synthetic.
Novatech. John Bunting is Precorp.
Precorp.
I think they have about 50 employees now.
Is Christensen up here?
Christensen is not in the diamond business. They buy diamond.
Oh, okay.
Christensen moved to Houston, most of their stuff. But there is a diamond plant in making center diamond. But the whole oil industry has changed because of Tracy's invention of synthetic. He was the first. It's clear to the American scientists, and the Swedish won't admit it, the Russians won't admit it, but I'll tell you an interesting story. We had a friend in Russia. He wanted to come and visit Tracy. And he had received the Russian top medal in science for his invention of synthetic diamond. And he came, we had a dinner for him at my home, and we took him to lunch first. He spent a day with us and then left, but we took him up to the top of the sky room, and he looked out He said, who owns those cars? And I said, well, they're owned by the students, but they can only bring one on the campus at a time. He couldn't believe it, you know. He says, I have two cars.
Well, that's good.
But anyway, and he said, and they serve some pink sparkling punch that they called champagne punch at one time on the menu. He says, oh, champagne punch, I will have champagne punch. And they brought him this pink lemonade kind of, and he took a big drink of it. He said, what kind of champagne punch is that? And we told him it was Mormon champagne punch because we didn't drink alcohol. But he thought we'd stab him. But then we had this dinner at my home, and after dinner, I mean, it was a jovial conversation. And after dinner, Fetishagen with a V, said, and he had all of the badges, you know, for his scientific honors. And the Russians claimed that they were the first to make synthetic diamond. And he said, Tracy, he said, they gave me the big honor for being the first man to make synthetic diamond. He said, you and I know different, don't we? And they both had a big laugh.
Oh, that's good. That's great. I'll try to look up that guy's name. So.
Boris, maybe. Fetishagen.
Well, Bill, thanks a lot.
If you have any other questions, you can call me.
It's a pleasure to come down here. I've heard a lot about U.S. Synthetic, but never put a location to the place. So
it's we've got 630 employees now.
That's more than what it says on your website.
What does it say?
I think it says 250.
Yeah, that's 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So you guys are really developing.
Yeah, we'll be a $200 million plant. We're heading for $200 million annual revenue.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know you're a leading PCD distributor.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't have the terms right, but.
We say PDC.
PDC. And
PCD is the diamond. PCD is the diamond layer. PDC for us is the polycrystalline diamond compact. It's on that means it's combined with a metal substrate. The metal gives the metal has tensile strength. Diamond has hardness, and it's a brittle material. But the PCD, the diamond layer, is tougher than natural diamond crystal.
Oh, okay.
Because you have the random orientation of the powder, of the tiny crystals, so that it doesn't have a cleavage plane. So it's tougher.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Now, how much does a book like that cost, bound in leather?
Okay.
You know, we've got our journal about ready to publish. We've got a Chinese publisher, and their prices are so low. Do you ever send your stuff to China?
I haven't yet. I haven't gone over 600 prints, at a time, and so it hasn't made sense.
Been a big thing anyway.
600, yeah.
How many did you do of this?
See, I Rose had 430 printed. 430 of these.
That's a lot.
Yeah. You know, we...
How many leather bound?
How many leather bound?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 12.
That's pretty good.
12 leather bound, and then the rest...
One for each child and Tracy.
We'll be doing about 600 for Tracy. Is that what you asked me?
Well, I just say, how much does a book like that cost?
Okay.
Printed.
This bind is about a $450 book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically because of the genuine leather cover.
Sure.
It's a handmade,
sure,
hand-bound everything.
Sure.
So a very nice book. It should last,
definitely,
I think, several hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
We, as a company, we offer to help in any way, customize people's books, family books, business books,
mm-hmm,
and offer. I employ professional writers, professional.
Well, we've got a history of this company almost written.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you had any help with the graphics, with laying it out in the book?
No.
How big do you estimate your book to be?
Well, we'd like every employee to have a copy.
Oh, okay. Tell you what, I ought to leave this copy with you, because I think it shows the quality of craftsmanship,
mm-hmm,
that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to have a chance to show you what we do for,
okay,
your company book.
Okay.
If you can give me it. So.
Okay. I meant to tell you also that as long as I was present here for quite a while. Hello?
Oh,
how you doing, Troy?
I just need to change Lewis's message, but I can get out in a second. Let's get you back to...
Hey, open my office for me.
I'll do that, too. Done so close?
Yeah.
Let me just open that door so I don't have to use the key.
Lewis is president now, but I was president for 12 years. As soon as we became real profitable, Lewis said, "Dad, I'm ready to be president." I said, "You've got it." I don't need to be president. I like to do the scientific better than I do the business.
Okay.
And right now, I'm putting a diamond. I'm putting PDC on prosthetics.
Oh, yeah.
That'll never wear out. We're quite far along on a... Oh. I've got 35 men working over here in another building.
Well, that's interesting.
A separate company. It started here, and then they will... This, the focus of this company is really the oil industry. And it's a dangerous thing to be a one-product company. And so we're expanding now, but it's been very interesting and very good.
Yeah, that's neat. You must be employing some people from the medical field. And
I've got two people from the medical field. One is a PhD from University of Utah who's been 11 years on the spine. And he's just thrilled with the idea of having a material like diamond. We've got three scientists up to University of Utah right now, gathering the kinematic data on the movement of the. And we've got this. I don't have a model here, but over there we've got. I've got 35 people over there, and this spine joint, if you move it with your finger, it'll come back to stable position.
Mm.
And the technician at the laboratory up there said we tested lots of substitutes for spine, you know, in spinal joints, and he said this is the only one that really gives normal human motion. Very exciting.
that must take some courage to probably go out and do that and finance something like that.
Yeah, I know most of Tracy's children. They're all fine. I think they're all fine now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are. So, yeah.
Nancy got off to a little bad start.
yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, they're just recovering, you know, losing Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy was an icon. Tracy was I never saw Tracy angry. I never saw him out of control. I never saw him anything but honest with great integrity. I think that he was misled a little bit. It turned out to be a blessing for the Pope family that we did separate, you know, but it wasn't my idea. And you is this your full-time occupation now?
Yeah. It's called Legacy Books.
Mm-hmm.
You've
got a card?
Yeah. I'm the owner and president. And it originally started as my wife, Barbara, being a graphic artist.
Oh, yeah.
But we've since had two kids. And so she's busy. And now I go out and find employ other
artists. Well, this, you might like to do this book.
I tell you what, I'd love to. I feel like I've already understand in a little bit, you know, what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Who would I? Are you the guy I would contact and work with?
Well, John Hardy is retired now, and that's his job. I'll give you his home number.
Okay.
John. I'm in the process of reading it now. I've been so busy on this hip joint and the spine. But we've got two orthopedic companies supporting us on that. Anyway, it's, John's home phone is 377-8345. I went to see Tracy just about 3 weeks before he died.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. He was dressed in his suit, had a tie on, and he was sleeping on the couch. And Charlotte, or who's been taking care of him?
Let's see, Nancy was right across the street.
Okay.
She was usually there.
But they had another girl, a girl that was a stranger to
Charlotte was there. Charlotte's from Illinois.
Pardon? I know Charlotte. And it was somebody...
Younger?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a caretaker.
Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, she said, well, just wake him up. And so we woke him up, and I told him who was there, and he said he was glad to see me. And we had a little conversation. It wasn't too deep, but I reminded him of a few things, and he recognized that. I'm sure glad I did.
Oh, man.
But I started to say, all through our history, we've tried to help Mega Diamond. They ran out of pyrophilite, and they wanted us to run some runs for them, and we ran runs for them. We've been very cooperative with them.
That's what I
wanted to help them.
Okay, so his name was John Harding?
John Harding. John was our CFO. We've got a new CFO now, but John is John's got the project of the company history.
Let's see. We work at $40 an hour for all services. Several years into it. We expect that to go up, though, within a year or two, as we get a little busier and demands come on our time. So John's been charged with writing your history.
Right. And he's got the first draft done.
Okay.
As far as the graphics go, he hasn't got much in it.
Is he planning on doing the graphics? Or is that
well, you'll have to talk to him.
Okay, I'll do that.
I haven't spent a lot of time with him. But I have read it. I've read through it quickly. I took Evelyn Wood's reading course. Ever heard of her?
No.
Anyway, she taught rap. when I was at the refinery, the refinery paid our tuition, and you ought to think about it. This course doubled my reading speed and improved my comprehension.
Oh.
They test both.
Well, yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
Well, it's nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. I really appreciate your time.
Evelyn Wood, I think, is dead now, but she, there must be another course like it.
Well, let's see. I'll be careful
with that.
Yeah, I'll leave this with you, and then
I'll show it to John.
Okay.
And that weighs
well, it's
10 pounds.
It's the best paper you can get with the best color printing, and so see this book is even bigger. Check out the weight on this book.
Hazel and Jean Van Dyke. Who are they?
Let's see, those are Karen's parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they've got their genealogical tables in here and everything.
Yeah, I mean, we try to make, you know, all the stuff you've got saved.
And do you use slick paper for photo pages, I guess?
Yeah, we use it. That's called a gloss paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not acidic at all, and so it's not going to... The paper's actually going to last longer than the bind.
Really?
Which is, you know, I'd like them to both last forever.
Yeah, there are a lot of bugs that like leather.
So, but you know,
well, that's beautiful.
We try to turn these books, and these are Basil and Jean's grandkids. They've each got a section in the back. And, journals.
Wow. That's probably one of the nicest I've ever seen. And the thing I like about it is the graphics are so brilliant.
We work really hard to get those graphics good, you know. Some people don't open a book unless there's a few pictures and it's easy to read through. So
that's an $800 book, huh?
Actually, no, that would be just a little bit more than that one.
Because of the covers or the...
Yeah, the difference between this one and this one is just the amount of paper, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So those, you know, these still look very good with a basic bind. We do a really nice bind of the mm-hmm. composite leather. You know, those books might be...
When you say composite leather, what's that?
It's a leather that's been processed.
It is leather still.
It's still leather.
Leather shavings and put it back together.
Yes, it's like what plywood.
It's like what's inside this belt. Not this belt. This is all leather, but
it's like plywood to wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this.
Yeah.
It still looks very good.
No,
and those books will be 100 or 150 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't charge for the production of the books. We don't add on to it. We pass that bill straight on to our customers. We make money through the services of writing, graphic arts, and arranging the printing. So,
all the production of the book, who pays for that?
Excuse me, that came out wrong. You do pay for the production of the book. We don't mark up the production of the book.
I see.
That's
a cost.
Yeah,
that's a
yeah.
cost that you don't take a profit on.
Printers here in the valley or here in the state.
Where was this printed?
That was printed at Rocky Mountain Printing.
Mm-hmm.
Just not too far from here.
Is it on University?
It's just north here off of 8th North.
Who's the head of it?
Boy, I don't know.
Well, I'll get this in John's hands. I'm going to take it home and show it to Margaret.
Yeah. Yeah, you might find
find a family interest there, too. So I'll give John a call after a couple days and see if you guys have talked or anything.
What you sent is yours, Catron. Pronounce your name for me.
Catron. It's
okay.
It got that spelling when my ancestors went through Ellis Island out in New York. It used to be German, and it was Kettenring, Kettenring.
Mm-hmm.
When they went to Ellis Island.
Kettering.
That's
Kettering was a famous engineer, wasn't he? Started the Chrysler Company. No, Walter Chrysler, that Kettering. Yeah, he's a famous engineer. I can't remember.
So the spelling of my last name is just, boy, it's just out there. Well, Bill, thanks a lot.
Well, you're welcome.
I really appreciate all the time.
Okay.
Time you spent with me.
Well, I'll take good care of it.
Okay.